Verse 12. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to preach tonight on this thought: no other declaration. No other declaration. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first 11 verses and we talked about no other doctrine. But tonight we're going to see what Paul is declaring, and there's nothing else we need to declare than what Paul was declaring. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for this time that we have to gather around your word. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and lives tonight. We recognize, Lord, that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our midst. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me. Lord, I stand unworthy tonight, but Lord, I've been made worthy by your blood, and I pray that somehow, some way, you'll use me to preach the Word of God, that our hearts would be moved to serve you in a greater way. Give strength where it's needed and guidance. Lord, if there be one here tonight without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the night that they trust thee. Lord, I know I can't do this on my own. Lord, I know I don't even deserve to be standing here. But Lord, we need to hear from you. And Lord, I know these folks deserve to hear what you have to say to them. So Lord, I pray that you'll do a great work in our lives tonight through your Spirit and through your Scriptures. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about Paul writing to Timothy and instructing Timothy on how thou oughtest to behave in the house of God. And he gave Timothy instructions concerning no other doctrines in verses 1 through 11. But now Paul is writing and he's encouraging him by showing Timothy how God can work anywhere, anytime, and on anyone. God's a big God, and God's able to do great and mighty things. And Paul takes his own life and shows that God can take someone that is what we would call a hard case, someone that would be very difficult. And Paul, before he was Paul, you remember he was Saul, and he would be what we would call a hard case, very religious, very bold, very set in his ways. But Paul takes his own life and gives a testimony of how God can take a hard case and turn their life around. How he can take difficult circumstances and change it into a divine situation. That's what he did with Paul's life. Paul's declaring some things. And Paul wants Timothy to know that it was all the work of God. You ever notice Paul doesn't lift up himself? He always lifts up the Lord. Paul may tell some things about himself, but he's usually talking about what he was and now what he is. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. He's usually saying, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." The boy points to the Lord. He always exalts him, doesn't he? He always says something great and wonderful. And we see that that's what he's declaring here tonight. He was writing to Timothy, and he was helping Timothy to see it was not about Paul's self. It was not about Paul's ability. It was not about Paul's education and training that made him who he was. And by the way, I believe if God calls you into the ministry, you ought to prepare for the ministry and you ought to learn some things. Now, some of that's the school of hard knocks. I realize that. You know, some preachers think it's a sin to go to Bible college. And I think if the opportunity is there and it's a good Bible college, you ought to go, you know. You can't just go to any of them. It's like, you've heard the young preacher, the story of the young preacher that got up before he preached and he said, "I'm uneducated and proud of it." And by the time he was done, you really realized he was uneducated. But he had much to be proud of because he didn't know anything about the Bible. And we need to understand that Paul is saying here, it's not about his education. Paul was an educated man. It's not about Paul's ability. And Paul had great abilities in dealing with people, there's no doubt. It wasn't about Paul's persona, if you will. It was about who God was. And Paul is saying to Timothy, "I have nothing else to declare unto you than I am what I am by the grace of God." What you see, Timothy, is a finished, is a product of the grace of God. The working of God's grace in my life. Now, all that was accomplished was not because of Paul, but because of God. And he wanted Timothy to understand this. There's no doubt that Paul was Timothy's hero. It was his father in the faith. He loved him. He looked up to him. Probably wanted to emulate him in a lot of ways. That's the way it is. You know, athletes or certain athletes want to play just like this athlete. There are some preachers that want to preach like these preachers. That's the way it is. There's preachers that I wish I could preach like. I found out they broke the mold when they made me. You know, I can't be like anybody, and nobody wants to be like me, so that's all right. But I was looking at this, and I was thinking about how Timothy was thinking about Paul and his life, and he looked up to Paul. And Paul showed him the danger of that, and he said, "It's not me you need to look to, it's God you need to look to." It's all about him. Timothy was young and timid and possibly sickly. And he was thinking, "I'm not sure I can do this." He's in the epicenter of sexual immorality. He's in Ephesus. He's in a place where there's a temple built to ungodly activities. Statues that are very, what we would say, pornographic statues. He's living there and he's pastoring a church that is there, and he's probably thinking, "I don't have the ability to do this. I'm not sure that this can be done with me." But Paul wants Timothy to know it's not about what man can do, it's about what God can do. And he's writing to Timothy and he says, "I want you to see what God can do." And he shows him his life. I want to see, first of all, Paul declares what he was. In verse number 13, he says, "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious." Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "Timothy, I want you to look and see this is what I was. I was not what you see now. I was a blasphemer," which means that he denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tried to force others to deny it also. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 7 and verse number 54, the Bible, Stephen, this was when Stephen was being stoned, and the Bible says that Stephen was preaching, and he goes on in verse 54 and says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Talking about Stephen. Now think about this. Stephen is preaching and he's talking about things from the Old Testament and he's proving their guilt. They don't want to hear it. Nobody likes to have sin pointed out. And they did everything they could. They were cut to the heart. But the Bible says in verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul, chapter 8, verse number 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So we find that Paul was a blasphemer. He did not want the gospel message. He did not want the message of Stephen being given, and he consented unto their death. He actually held the coats of people that were stoning Stephen. And then he says he was a persecutor. It means he pursued after. He went after people like hunting an animal. He used physical power to try and destroy the church. Acts chapter 8, verse number 3, the Bible says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Think about that. He was a persecutor, wasn't he? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, Paul was writing, he says, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul says, Timothy, you're looking at the church at Ephesus and you're thinking, I cannot do this. It cannot be done here. Well, I want you to see what I was, Timothy. I want you to look at my life. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. It means he was insulting. He was proud. He was a bully. He was a tyrant. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 9 verse number 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, talking about those Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. We see here that Paul was injurious and he was going after people. He was going into the houses. He got letters from the priests and he went into places. And I mean, he was going after these people, these Christians. Paul says to Timothy, this is what I was. This is where I was and this is what I was. While Timothy's looking at the church at Ephesus, if you go and read, you're going to find out that there were doctrinal problems there. There were false teachers. There was the worship of Diana, the goddess Diana, the temple that was built there, a shrine to her. All the innuendos that went with that. There were all kinds of ungodly images and all kinds of immorality. And Timothy is thinking, can I reach this city? Can I help this church? Can I do this? It seems like it's impossible. And Paul says, not many would have thought that there was any hope for me. Because this is what I was. Paul declares, this is what I was, Timothy. And then Paul declares, the grace of God done a work in his life. Look at this, verse 13. But I, all right, let's look at who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul declares what he was. Paul declares the grace of God at work in his life. He says, but I obtained mercy. Now we know what mercy is tonight. It's when we do not get what we do deserve. And then he says, I obtained grace. And that's where we do get, get that which we do not deserve. You understand? Grace, we don't get what we should. And then grace is we do get what we shouldn't. Mercy and grace. And God and Paul is declaring the grace of God in his life. He says, what I did because of ignorance. He thought he was doing God a favor. Look, there's a lot of people that are sincere, But they're sincerely wrong. Paul says, this is what I was. But the grace of God did a work in my life. Amen. I was doing what I thought was the work of God. But God blinded me so that I could see. God shined a light upon my life, and he took my sight away so that I could get my eyes on Him. Now, can God save someone that sins knowingly? Yes. He sure can. It's more difficult in a lot of situations, not on God's part, but on man's part. Because man has a problem forgiving self. And they think, well, I'm too bad to be saved. I've done too many bad things. Paul was always fighting this battle, and he always brought it up. But he knew that God's grace was sufficient. The work of God's grace can do something mighty in your life. And he's encouraging Timothy that God's grace is sufficient for all things. I can imagine what Timothy's thinking. He's looking around and he's saying, I just don't know. I can't do it. But Paul says, you're right. You can't, but God can. Paul's saying, Timothy's saying, I just don't know if it can happen in this city. And Paul's saying, God can take the most difficult of situation and He can change it totally around. God can do great things. And Paul is declaring these things to Timothy, and he's encouraging Timothy that God's grace is sufficient. I want you to look at the grace of God. Look at the resource of His grace in verse number 14. The Bible says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I like that word exceeding abundant. It means there's a super duper amount of grace, right? I mean, we're talking about that when it comes to the grace of God, there's enough for everybody, and there's enough for every situation. And the resource of this grace is faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, and there's enough for all the world. Did you know that there's enough of the grace of God, there's enough of the love of God for everybody to be saved? Amen. Did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't die just for a select few, He died for all? Amen. Now there's just a few that's going to heaven, but that's because that's what they choose. Right. Jesus died. He died for the whole world. It's not God's will that any should perish, the Bible says. The resource of God's grace is the fact that this the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus is enough for all. Then we see the reach of His grace. Notice what the Bible says in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How far does His grace reach? Well, the Bible says it's worthy of all acceptation. In other words, everybody can have it. All can accept it. It's worthy of all acceptation. Anyone, everyone, anywhere, everywhere can accept the grace of God, and anybody can be saved. The Bible goes on and says, it talks about the world, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Timothy's looking around and he says, it's a wicked city. It's a terrible place. It's a very difficult circumstance. But Paul says Jesus died for these people. And God's grace in their life can change them and make them a new creature. We see the resource of His grace. We see the reach of His grace. And then we see the reason of His grace. Look at this in verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul is declaring to Timothy that the reason he, as well as anyone, is saved is to show others how to be saved. Did you know that the reason you're here, if you're saved, is to help others to know how to be saved? Paul says he did this for a pattern of things. He said long-suffering. Look at that, long-suffering. God's not willing that any should perish. And Paul says, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, but God's grace changed me. Changed me. I obtained mercy that Christ might show forth all long-suffering. And then Paul declares not only what he was, the grace of God, but he also declares what he became. What he became. Back in verse number 12, he says, and I thank Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 16, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Verse 12, he says, because of God's grace, now I'm in the ministry. He was a hard case. But God's grace was bigger than this hard case. He would look like an impossible situation, but God's grace changed his life. Who would have ever thought Paul would be the greatest preacher of that day and the greatest worker in churches of that day, the one that was going from city to city and from house to house, said, I'm going to bring them all to Jerusalem. I'm going to bring them all down here. We're going to put them in bonds. We're going to put them in prison because of these churches of Christ, these people, Those kind. I'm going to go after them. He was once a persecutor, but now he's a preacher. He was once a murderer, but now he's a missionary. He was once a church plunderer. Now he's a church planter. He was once trying to destroy. Now he's trying to deliver. And he says, I became this for a pattern, verse 16. It's proof that the grace of God can change any sinner. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. And he said, if he can save me, he can save anybody. Don't you feel like that? He can save me, he can save anybody. It's what Paul declared. Paul's writing this, and he's so excited. He's not there in Timothy's presence, but he's writing it. Can you imagine him sitting down there writing these words and knowing that Timothy, his son in the ministry, is going to receive these things, and he's hoping to encourage Timothy, and he's declaring these things. There's no other thing, Paul says, needs to be declared than what God can do. And he gets so excited about it. He gets so filled up with what God has done. I mean, look at this. He says, I thank Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He gets so excited, and he's getting ready to close this portion of this letter to Timothy, and he's so excited thinking about what God has done, just thinking about it. He has to be sure that God gets the glory for it all, and he breaks out and he says, now, I'm not addressing Timothy now, he says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says to Timothy, it's not me that you need. Oh, I want to come, Timothy, but even if I don't come, and we don't know that he ever made it there, if I don't get there, it's not me you need, it's God you need. Dear friends, that's the way it is in every church. We need God to be here. We need God to do something. Ephesus may have been too big for Timothy. It may have been too troublesome for Timothy to handle, but it wasn't too much for God. Because the Bible says He is the King eternal. He always has been and He always shall be. The Bible says that He is the King immortal. He is unchanging. He is unending and nothing can destroy Him. And He is the King that's invisible. He's too holy to see with our mortal eyes and His ways are beyond our ways. But He can do what needs to be done and we need to be declaring Him. Nothing else but Him. There's so many churches. They have so many things going on. But nothing points to Him. Dear friends, if we quit telling people about the Lord, we might as well close up shop and go on home. Paul says to Timothy, no other God, no other man, but the only wise God. To Him be glory forever and ever. You know what he's saying? Timothy, it can be done. You can't do it, but God can. I can't do it, but God can. But God called me in the ministry, and God's called you in the ministry. And this is what He has for us to do. To declare Him. No other declaration. Don't it just bother you when you hear preachers get up and all they want to talk about is how good they are? It just makes me sick. It's fine to tell stories. But when we start talking about somebody being good, we ought to talk about God being good. Because when you see me or any other preacher, you're just seeing an old sinner that deserves hell. But we did not get what we did deserve. That was mercy. And we got what we did not deserve. And that was grace. And God's mercy and grace is available to all. And we need Him. And we need to be declaring His mercy and grace to others. No other declaration. We need to lift up the Lord, don't we? Lift up the Lord. May God help us. Paul's writing to Timothy there as he's pastoring this church at Ephesus. He needed this. He needed this. Timothy was young in the ministry, more than likely between 30 and 40 years of age. That was young, especially with the elders of that day, which we'll be looking at that later on in the book of chapter 5 of this book. You can imagine how difficult it must have been for this young preacher to look around. But Paul said, there's nobody like-minded like you. And I know the Lord wants you to be there. And it can be done, Timothy. We just need to declare that He's able. No other declaration. Paul declares, this is what I was before God got a hold of me. Paul declares, this is God's grace getting a hold of me, and now this is what I am. And it's all because of God in my life. Tonight, if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, it's not because you deserve it. It's because God's grace is sufficient. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the same Christ that died for Paul is the same Christ that died for you. The same Jesus Christ that saved Paul and changed his life is the same Jesus Christ that can save you and change your life. And the same God that blessed that church there in Ephesus, that pastor, got those things done, is the same God that can bless this church here. Help us to reach people. But He will not bless us if we're not declaring Christ and His Word. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We get ready a hymn of invitation. I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. I want to ask you a couple of questions. I realize that the most important thing in any person's life, and under the sound of my voice right now, is that they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be their home. None of us deserve that, but if we, by faith, have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, His grace is sufficient. If there's ever been a time in your life where you've prayed and you've asked the Lord, forgive your sin, you know, you realize you're a sinner, you asked Him to forgive you, come into your life, be your Savior, you've made, you've called upon Him and you've asked Him to do that, and you know tonight that you've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation as a testimony. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Would you raise your hand and say, I know I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for not raising your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I know I didn't give just a full gospel message. We talked about the results of God's grace. The Bible teaches us that Jesus, God's Son, loves you. Came into this world in a miraculous way. God robed Himself in flesh, became a man. He could feel the same way you and I feel. He hurt the way you and I hurt. He had greater love than you and I could ever have. He loved you so much that He willingly went to the cross and died on the cross for your sins. And the Bible declares that on the third day He rose again from the grave. When He rose, He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And now if you will believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, if you'll believe in your heart and call upon Him, you can know that heaven's going to be your home. We can take a Bible and show you how you can know this. If you're here and you didn't raise your hand just a moment ago about being saved, here in just a moment, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. This could be the greatest day of your life. But if you leave without Christ, there's no promise of a tomorrow, and there's no promise of another service for you, for any of us. You need to have it settled. Don't leave without knowing. Just a few moments ago, many of us raised our hand. We were saved. Heaven's going to be our home. Are we given the testimony of the grace of God, of the work of grace of God in our life? Are we making these declarations to others? Are we encouraging the saints along the way when they look and they think that it's an impossible situation? Are we reminding them of how impossible it was for a soul that deserves to go to hell to be headed towards heaven? Are we declaring what we ought to be declaring? The people that are around us that are lost, do they hear the witness of the gospel? Oh, Lord, help me to be better at this. In just a few moments, maybe you'll come and say, Lord, help me to be a greater witness. Father, we thank You for this time. And as we have time to respond to Your Word, I pray that You'll help us to be truthful and obedient to You. I pray for these that are here tonight that do not know that for sure that heaven's going to be their home. They're not sure that Christ is their Savior. I pray that tonight they get it settled once and for all. And I pray for Christians that need to respond. Lord, that we'll be faithful in doing what You would have us to do. We give this time to Thee. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.